I don't have a connection to the Parsha, but the Parsha is in Hebrew, so that'll be enough of a stretch for us. It'll be the last of our three-part series of Nusach, and we want to discuss Havara, pronunciation of Lashon HaKodesh. Everybody grew up in different homes, in different countries, in different places, and a certain way that we speak Hebrew. Now, I'm not talking about the history of how things explored and changed over time. It's not a history class. There's plenty of articles. If you want an article on it, I'll send you 4 or 5 to discuss how things developed according to historians and experts in language and things like that. But we are where we are, and this is where we're sitting. And the question is threefold. What's twofold, really? What's more correct, and can you change? That's really the question at the end of the day. So one of the first, if not the first, person to defend the pronunciation of Minhag Ashkenaz is the Maharal of Prague. In the Teferis Yisrael, in Perek Samach Vav, so there's a much longer discussion here about Nukudos and Halacha Moshe Misinai and Kri and Ksiv. There's a whole long discussion. But within that context, the Maharal says, Hine Avar Be'edim Ne'amanim. I'm going to show you with proof. Ki Kriyas Ashkenazim Kriya Haguna. That the way Ashkenazim read and pronounce Hebrew is correct. V'lo timtza sherhu derech emes rak kriyas Ashkenazim. And the only real way of emes, says the Maharal, is the way of the Ashkenazim. That's how the Maharal opens up that piece. He's really having a discussion not about letters, more about nukudos, the shva versus kamatz and patach and things like that. But that is his opening line. The Tshuvas of the Ridbaz, Rav David Wolofsky, in the end of Simen Chav Zayin, says that due to our galus, there's been confusion regarding the pronunciation of Lashon HaKodesh. And the Tshuvas Divrei Yosef says as well that due to galus, there's been confusion and things have changed over time from nation to nation, causing us to make mistakes in our pronunciation of Hebrew. And there's a commenter of Moshe Feinstein, Negros Moshe, Rechaim Chel Gimel Simen Hay. And he also agrees that at one time there was one correct pronunciation, and then over time it was fractured. Let's see what he says. Mikol makom lo mistaber shavoseinu kishayu kulam yachad. It doesn't make any sense that when our forefathers were all centered in one place, shayaza ad shigalu b'chorban rishon, before the chorban of the bais rishon, hayimadabrim b'havaros acheres, that it was so widespread, there was such a big change in pronunciation, if everybody was somewhat situated. Uma shenechshav shtei havaros kol echas mehen lashon hakodesh. And two different pronunciations are still Lashon HaKodesh, says Rav Moshe. Sh'av sh'rak echas mehen hi amizis. Even though technically one is MS, one is the one that, you know, Avram handed down to Yitzchak, down to whatever it may be, but they're both Lashon HaKodesh. Hu mitam shim yesh kal gadol. Because if there is a sizable population, shikorin osan osios v'tevos v'nekudos, who reads the letters in the nekudos, shibalashon HaKodesh v'havara kavua, with a set form of pronunciation, nechshav zegam kein lashon HaKodesh, it is lashon HaKodesh for all intents and purposes. Afshu shinoi mehavara shein divur shenisna haTorah, even though it's not the same way that Moshe spoke when they gave the Torah. And there are different changes and differences in the havaros and the pronunciations. Even within Ashkenazis, we know that we find from the different countries, there's Lita, and there's Anshe Poland, and there's Hungarian. They're all in Ashkenaz. And it also doesn't make sense that there was one Ashkenaz Havara, and then it fractured over time. No, each people ended up in different lands, and different countries developed a different way to speak Lashon HaKodesh. El Shiesh is a Shibushim b'makom echad. There were mistakes and changes in different places. Shinasa Barov Hayamim, over the course of time, Mitzad Havaras Anshe Medina, based on the country they lived in, influenced by the French or the Germans or the Polish, wherever they may have dwelled. Shenim Shach Mamela Gamal Havar Shal Shakarish, that crept its way to Lashon HaKodesh. So Rav Moshe agrees. There was one thing, there was an MS of Lashon HaKodesh, and stuff changed over time.
We know that there were Shvatim from the Shibboleth story in Tanakh.
We'll get to the Shibboleth story. Okay. We'll get to there. Okay. So that's what we see from Rav Moshe, this is the rule. If there's a large community that speaks that way, then it's Lashon HaKodesh. If you start with your own Mishagas and start making up your own language, that's not Lashon HaKodesh. But if there's a community that's already said that speaks that way, that is Lashon HaKodesh. Comes with Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Nahalicha Shlomo, and he says it's true that there was a correct pronunciation, But shibush is also lashon. If a person speaks with a lisp, are they not speaking that language? No. A shibush, a change, even a mistake, is still considered that language. And therefore, Ashkenazim should keep their havara, Svardim should keep their pronunciation. And he adds that it's wrong to say, because the Svardim don't distinguish between kamatz and patach, therefore they should change. The Svardim have a Masora, and this is the way their parents spoke and their grandparents spoke, and this is the way they should speak and daven. Obviously, this is only an afternoon for davening and perhaps the Midat Torah, but this is the way they should daven as well. So we do find in Shoftim the famous case of the Shibboleth, as it's been translated into English. The people of Ephraim was used as a code to determine who was from Ephraim or not, because Ephraim could only pronounce the word Siboles, not Shiboles, as it is said in the Navi. And the Radak there has a wild shot. The Radak says it's not only location that affects a person's pronunciation, but also atmosphere and climate can have an effect on the way a person speaks. And the people of Ephraim lived in a different climate than the rest of the Jewish people. Regardless, we say that even in the days of the Navi, there was different pronunciation to Lashon HaKodesh. There's a Gemara in Megillah Chavdal. The Gemara in Megillah says, regarding leading the davening and Birchas Kohanim, the Gemara says someone from Haifa and Beit She'an cannot lead because they can mess up their ayins and their aleph's. Already back then, they messed up the ayins and the aleph's, and hayz and ches. So Rashi gives an explanation of what's wrong. Okay, so you mix up your ayin and your aleph, so what's the big deal? So the first pshat in Rashi is that if you mix up an ayin and an aleph, it could come out that you're saying a klala, a curse in Birchas Kohanim, not a bracha. That's one issue. And the second issue is that the pronunciation itself is defective. It's not what it's supposed to be. So the Turei Yevin, the Shagas Arya there in the Gemara says that a mispronounced tefillah is not defective to somebody who normally speaks that way. If you speak Lashon HaKodesh that way, then davening that way is okay. You have to keep some sort of semblance between the two. And this is how he pronounces the words. And if that were not the case, then he wouldn't be able to daven for the Amud, because he's not davening the way that he speaks Lashon HaKodesh. I guess that would solve the issue for many people who don't speak Lashon HaKodesh. It wouldn't be such an issue.
Wouldn't be a separate issue with davening for the Amud that somebody should have to do? How much is this? When he has to daven with the same...
We'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah.
Different between tefillah and kriyat
haTorah? Maybe. No. Kriyat haTorah actually might be worse, especially if there are kriyat haTorah that needs a d'oraisa, like Parshas Zachar and Parshas Para. That might be even worse. Okay. So there's a Zohar. The Zohar says that the ayin, the hey, the ches, and the aleph come from the throat. The gimel, yud, the chaf, and the kuf come from the palate. The beis, the vav, the mem, and the pei come from the lips. The dal, the tuf, test, the lam, the nun, and the tuf come from the tongue. The zayin, the sin, the shin, the resh, and the tzadi come from the teeth. And based on all of this, Zohar, so Rav Avadya Yosef and the Abi Omer has a long shuv in chelek vav to show that the pronunciation of the svardim is superior. I think we could have seen that coming. And he felt that the Sfarim would do it the right way. And he says, the Sfarim differentiate between Ches and Chaf, Kuf and Chaf, Samach and Tuf, Aleph and Ayin, unlike the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim pronounce the Ches from the palate, not from the throat, and the Tes from the teeth, not from the tongue. And he says the Ashkenazim are all backwards. And other support for this Sephardi pronunciation is found in a Haskama, a letter of approbation by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, to a sefer called Safa Barura by Rav Yehoshua Bressler. And he also says he thinks that the Sephardim are more correct than the Ashkenazim in speaking Hebrew. Rav Yaakov Emden in his Siddur in Beis Kel, the Sridi Eish, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg in Chelik Beis, says that the Havar of the Ashkenazim has been corrupted, like the famous Tuf and Suf that we do, and that according to the experts, he says the Sephardim are more correct. Rav Henkin has a long piece about this in the Ages of the Yisrael. Rav Henkin, who certainly had fine Ashkenazi stock, writes that the Ashkenazim, that in instances where the Sephardim are correct and the Ashkenazim are incorrect, the Ashkenazim should change to follow the Sephardim. And in Europe, he says, we didn't have the opportunity to hear and learn from different sounds that we could learn to discern what was incorrect in the Ashkenazi's pronunciation. He says the European languages did not have a lot of range of sounds, a range of pronunciations in the European languages. He says when he came to America, we learned that there was a J, J sound, and a thus sound, a th. These are things we never had in Europe amongst the Ashkenazim. It didn't make it into their languages. And therefore, now that we know about this, we should try to be more careful in those places when it comes to Hebrew. And we should teach the teachers to teach the children the proper way to pronounce Lashon HaKodesh. That's Rav Henkin's approach. I don't know if that made it into the classrooms. Another thing made it into the classrooms, all of our Hebrew teachers in America, even for Ashkenazim, came from Eretz Yisrael. So they taught all of our children who were Ashkenazi to speak in Havara Eretz Yisrael. I didn't say Havara Sephardi, I said Havara Eretz Yisrael, because there's a distinction, as we'll point in a moment. In addition, who says that we are wrong as Ashkenazim? The Yaskel Avdin, Chelek Beis, presents a large list of what's wrong with the different pronunciations, and he shows how the Havaros were corrupted based on where Jews lived. The Sridi Eish feels that their differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim are not that great. He doesn't feel it's such a big deal, but he does say that the Hasidim are definitely wrong. That's what Sridi Eish says. He says Ashkenazim and Sephardim, not such a big deal. But what Hasidim did to it is totally off, he says. The eyes and all the different things, he thinks that's off as well. And the Or Letzion points out issues with Teimanim. He thinks the Teimanim are wrong about certain things. And the Abi Omer critiques the Teimanim, the famous Teimani Gimel, which they pronounce as a Gimel. He thinks that's wrong. So everybody thinks everybody else is wrong. That's where we're sitting at this moment in time. Nobody knows how to speak Hebrew right.
Aren't the Gemara's referring to occasional letters how things are pronounced?
Well, it's hard to... Part of the problem with transmitting how something should be pronounced is that it's in writing. So we're biased in the way that we read it. We have, for example, this piece of the Maharal I quoted before. The Maharal is a long piece about how Kamatz and Shvash should pronounce. He has a whole thing. But how, you can't teach me how to speak a language from writing. It's hard to understand what the Maharal is talking about. Yes.
For instance, Hasidim say umay,
yes,
instead of omay.
Correct.
That's wrong, right?
I didn't say. I don't want any angry letters to the editor. The Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who is the Rav in Berlin, so he felt that that was wrong. But we'll touch upon that in a moment as well. Okay. In the above Yabia Omer that we've been discussing, he writes to an Ashkenazi that was raised to speak like Sephardim. And he wants to continue, he wants to change. So Rav Avad Yosef tells him to continue to speak like Sephardim, since that Havar is more correct. And he says, we know that Rav Nassen Adler, the famed Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, he paid Rav Chaim Modai of Turkey to tutor him to speak like Sephardim for 2.5 years. I don't know why it took that long, but for 2.5 years, he had a tutor to speak and learn to enunciate and pronounce and daven that way. And in his shul, he was the only person allowed to daven as a Shiach Tzibur because he had trained himself how to daven this way. So even Rav Nassen Adler felt this was correct. It's also known that Rav Yitzhak of Elush, and Rav Chaim's son, after davening, would repeat Shema in a Sephardi pronunciation as well. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Hakdama to the Svara Brura, says that he had the same practice to repeat Shema like Sephardim. I once heard that somebody said that he had later in life, he trained himself to say it like Teimanim as well, and he would repeat Shema again like the Teimanim. Rav Yaakov was very into Diktuk and things of that nature. The Shorish Menahu Ashkenaz, Rabbi Hamburger, writes that when Rav Yaakov was asked if he felt if the Chedushe Harim was Yotze with Shema, because the Chedushe Harim was a Hasidish Rabbi, and he pronounced it like a Chassid. So they asked Rav Yaakov, so I don't understand, when the Chedushe Harim didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema because he pronounced it like a Chassid, so Rav Yaakov said he was probably Yotze Vidyevet. That's what Rav Yaakov said. I didn't say it. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that perhaps the Chedushe Harim was Yotze Bidiyeved in pronouncing Shema. In the Yaz Nidbaru, Rav Binyamin Zilber, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Halichal Shlomo, they say that ideally, a person who's taught at a young age to pronounce things differently than their parents should try and switch back to Minagavos. That's what a person should do. This happens a lot in America. You have Ashkenazi parents, they send the kids to day schools, and in the day schools, the teachers and many of the moras speak in a Havara Sephardis, and the kids are raised that way, and then when they get older, they daven that way, even though the parents are pronouncing the suf and tuf and things like that. That was me, for an example. I went to a fine Jewish day school in America, and all my Hebrew teachers were Israeli. And when I figured out what was going on, when I got to Eretz Yisrael, it took a long time, but I got it down, and I switched my way back to Ashkenazis, like my parents daven and my grandparents daven. So that would probably be an ideal, unless it's very difficult. Unless it's too difficult to do and you're going to be all famished, then just keep it. Other stories about different issues of pronunciation before we get to changing. The Chazon Ish was makbid to pronounce the cholam as a long A sound. That was the Chazon Ish's pronunciation. He held that if an entire community like Litta pronounces something a certain way, it becomes Lashon HaKodesh, like Rav Moshe said. And I don't think every single place I've seen this discussed, everybody agrees that the I is wrong. I don't think I've seen a single source defending the I of Hasidim and part of the Litvish world as well. It's just not, it's not Lashon HaKodesh going to everybody. Everybody agrees that's a pure corruption. They say that the Gra was makbid not to say I. The Gra, they, in the days of Vilna, they were already saying I, and the Vilna Gaon would not say I in his davening because he felt it was incorrect. The sound was almost close to like an ow sound, like the almost like the Germans when they recite in their davening, almost like a longer ow. And today, if you have a masorah, you can say I. But if you don't have a masorah, I find it crazy that you have guys come back from yeshiva and they flip out a little bit and they want to be yeshivish and they're saying things ay when they never did it before. It's nuts. If you're gonna correct it, at least correct it to something that's nominally correct. Don't correct it to something that everybody agrees is not correct. Okay, and the minhag to pronounce, there's also a discussion about how to pronounce a chirik gadol versus a chirik katan. A chirik followed by a yud, according to many svarim, should be an e. Without a yud, should be just an e. And there's whole discussions about that by different yuschos as well. Okay, enough of the diktuk before everybody falls asleep. So, Lamaisa, Rav Asher Weiss is said in a parsha shir, parshas Vayetze in Tashanayin Vav, that all of the havaras are correct and kosher, and no one havar is preferable to the other. And that seems to be the way that Klal Yisrael has paskened. People just keep their Masorah. If you want to do a discussion about the Havar of Eretz Yisrael, so there are articles about this. This is just one piece. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just tell you what he says outside. This is from Rav Kalman Kahana. He writes in the Sefer Cheker V'i in the Chelekei. He makes a comment about modern Hebrew. Essentially, he says that when they came up with modern Hebrew, when the Ashkenazim invented modern Hebrew, they took the worst of both sides. Essentially, they picked the Nekudos of the Sfardim, who don't differentiate enough, and they picked the Havara of the Ashkenazim, who differentiate in the wrong places, and it became this big mishmash. So what you have, for example, is in modern Hebrew, everything is milra in modern Hebrew. They always pronounce the end of the word, the end syllable in the word. But in Lashon HaKodesh, that's not always the case. We have rules where we pronounce things milra and mil'el. But in modern Hebrew, it just always, everything is pronounced on the last syllable. And what?
I don't think that principle. I thought it's because simply people don't want to diktok. I remember
reading that was the way it was designed in the way they taught Hebrew.
You're saying a newscaster in Israel who's reading theoretically will do everything, you know, at the last syllable?
I think that the way that they discuss it. Again, I'm no expert in dictum, but this is what I saw in a number of articles. Okay, changing. So we discussed, at the end of the day, nobody's right, everybody stay where they are, don't change, and keep on doing what you've been doing. That's the first thing. Now, what if you want to change? Can you change? Person wants to change to Ashkenazis, Sephardis, whatever it may be. So, the Mishpatei Uziel writes, in the first tshuva in Chelek Aleph, he's discussing what is a minhag that can or cannot be changed. How do you know if you can change a minhag or you can't? That's a good question. Sometimes you want to change a minhag, sometimes we can't. So he says that havara, pronunciation, is not a minhag. Everybody thought before we came here tonight that the way you pronounce something is part of a minhag that you inherited. And he says it's not. He says a minhag is only in Isser V'Heter. Minhag only applies to the realm of something as mutter or something is usser. The minhag avos that cannot be changed must stem from Isser V'Heter. If your parents wore purple socks on Wednesday, that is not a minhag avos. It must stem from a place in Shulchan Aruch related to something being mutter or usser, allowed or forbidden. And he cites a tshuva the Marashdam. The Marashdam is discussing a community who wanted to switch back to Nusach Ashkenaz. The Marashdam felt there was no issue with switching Nusach because it's not based on Isser V'Heter. How you pronounce has nothing to do with Mutter or Usser. It's just the way your parents did stuff. And that can be changed. We don't have to continue doing things just because they did things a certain way, says the Maharashtam, and says the Mishnah to Yisrael. There's no concept in Judaism of doing things just because things were done before, which seems to be against what we always like to talk about.
Maybe in terms of davening,
good, don't worry, we're going to get to his critique. And he invokes the practice of Rav Nassim Adler, who clearly felt there was no issue changing Nusach. The Sefer Chassidim says that people who mix up Ches and Hey, when they get to Nafshenu Chiksa Lashem, and they recite Nafshenu Hiksa Lashem, right? They say, and my soul is hitting Hashem, instead of my soul is longing for Hashem. So the Sefer Chassidim says, it doesn't matter, because Hashem understands what you're saying anyway, and Hashem loves you, and He gives you a big hug, and everything's fine. You're trying your best, and nobody cares at the end of the day. And just like a parent understands the child when other people cannot understand the child, says the Sefer Chassidim, so too Hashem understands you when you daven, even though you may be pronouncing it incorrectly. And therefore, says Rav Uziel, there's no problem changing Havara as long as you're consistent. Just be consistent, and therefore there's no issue davening and learning in Havara of modern Hebrew, or whatever they made up. The Yaskel Avdi, another Sfardi, agrees, Rav Avadja Hadayah and Chelik Beis, and he says, Al Pi Kabbalah and Al Pi Halacha, there's nothing wrong with switching your Havara. And he says, on the contrary, it's a mitzvah for someone to switch Havara that distinguishes between the different letters since you do the right thing. Okay. Rav Kook wrote a Haskama to the Mishpatei Uziel. Okay? Mishpatei Uziel was written at the turn of the 20th century, and Rav Kook wrote a Haskama. Later, sorry, it was written in the 1930s, and Rav Kook wrote a Haskama, a letter of approbation supporting this beautiful work by this fine Talmud Chacham. However, in his Haskama, he notes his strong, strong disagreement with this approach. And Rav Kook says as follows. He felt the Maharashtam was misinterpreted. He says, the Maharashtam is dealing with a Ran. The Ran said that you are bound to keep a Minog when it's based on Isser V'Hetzer. Now, the Ran was dealing with a Minog HaMakom and leaving the city while keeping the Minhagim. He was talking about a specific case of, do I have to keep the Minog of the place I came from when I go to a different community? However, we're not talking about Minog HaMakom, we're talking about Minhag Avos and people who essentially are staying in the city. Says Rav Kook, it's wrong to change the Minag Avos or to change the Minag Makom while still sitting in that city. That's what they're talking about when it comes to Isser V'Hetzer. With these types of Minhagim, there's no reason to change when something was done to enhance Avodas Hashem. When something was done in the realm of Isser V'Hetzer and Shulchan Aruch to enhance a mitzvah, then don't change it. That's what the Maharashtam said. One. Then he suggests that the Maharashtam was upset because people were trying to start a machlokas in the name of Al Titosh Tarasi Mecha. He says sometimes people want to change. And then some guy gets up in shul and says, no. We've been doing this for 300 years. And he starts screaming and making a big deal, making everybody miserable. But they want to do something to enhance their avodas Hashem. So he says, don't use Al Titosh Tarasi Mecha. Don't use the cudgel, the stick of Minhag, to beat people down and make their life miserable. In that case, the Maharashtam felt that unless they're trying to revert to something based on Isser V'Hetzer, that's something that's Mutzer Aser, there's no reason to invoke Minhag. However, in our case, we are maintaining the status quo. If an Ashkenazi has been davening Nusach Ashkenaz and Minhag Ashkenaz forever, and we are maintaining what his parents did, in such a case we can preserve what the majority is doing, even if it's on the realm of Isser V'Hetzer. So that's Rav Kook's point. If you are maintaining the status quo of what your parents did, you may not change. That's nothing to do with Isser V'Hetzer in that regard. Rav Herzog in the Heichal Yitzchak cites Rav Kook almost word for word as the halacha, and he adds that in this generation it was important to keep Havara Ashkenazis because the Reform and the Maskilim were adopting Sephardi pronunciations. We know who came up with modern Hebrew pronunciation. It was the Haskalah and the Reform. And therefore he felt at that point, when Rav Herzog wrote this letter, he said, you have to keep the Minhag Ashkenaz. Now, what's the kasha on Rav Kook? Because his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, ignored his father's psak 100%. And in Merkaz HaRav, by his time, everything was in Havara Sfardis. Everything was that pronunciation. So what happened? So what they say in the name of Rav Tzvi Yehuda is that it's better to daven in the spoken language so that people don't get confused. By that point in Eretz Yisrael, it was too confusing. The dominant way of speaking had overcome everything else. And it happens that many Israeli yeshiva bachrim get confused when they grow up. And the problem, and this was his shita. Now, it doesn't answer Torah Simecha. He's not answering his father's point of keeping the minag. But nevertheless, we see that even Rav Kook's son did not adopt his father's psak. And this is where we sit today in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe says that because we don't know which Havara is more correct, you can't change from one you inherited from your parents. And this is the sheet of the Divrei Yisrael, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and the Azni Baruch. The Minchas Yitzchak cites a Magen Avraham in Chelek Gimel, who discusses the issue of switching from Minhag Avos for davening. And we discussed this in the first year about switching Nusach. But the Minchas Yitzchak says that also includes Havara pronunciation. You can't switch that as well. The Rambam may understand that someone who switches is karavelo dikdik biyosi oseha. He's reading, but he's pronouncing improperly. The stipler has a letter in the Kayana di Garza, says you can't switch because of altito, so you have to protect your mesora. But he has a piece also in the Rechos Avinu that says if you're so bothered by the way the speaking, then he'll let you change if it's going to steer your avodas Hashem. Rav Henkin also felt it was terrible to switch one's havara unless you can clarify you're switching for a good reason. We'll just end this particular section with a comment from Rav Asher Weiss. So Rav Asher Weiss says, Amna modani shevadai roy lekol adam ledbok b'minhagei avosav. People should keep their minhagim of their parents. B'chol davra v'davra b'vadai b'inyan minyanai tefila. Certainly when it comes to tefila. Ach lo mishum sfeikos b'gufa inyan. You don't keep it because you don't know what to do. El mishum ha mitzvah ha klalis ledvok b'darchei avos minhagim. Because of the mitzvah to hold on to your parents' customs. That's why you keep your avar. Not because we're all finished and like, whatever, so I might as well just keep what I'm doing. You keep it because we believe and we hold on to the customs of our parents. Sof davar at the end of the day. Roy lo l'adam ledvok b'hava b'chiba b'darchei avos minhagim. A person should love the path of his parents and avodas Hashem. Akasher in kavana l'shanos rishay adam l'spal b'havara b'atam l'beis chinuch shebo chinuch. However, if you're doing it because you can't concentrate and this havara is making you crazy and you can't get it right, so then change it for the sake of your education. B'atam adal levar b'shimimenu shasa mehadas mimenu shav meimav meitorah, and make sure that the person who's teaching you this is coming from the waters of Torah. Okay, let's say you're in another place. That was point number two. So what do we say so far? Everybody's wrong, and keep your minhag. That's what we got so far. We just summarized the whole last 27 minutes in two sentences. Everybody's wrong, and keep on doing what we've been doing. Now, what if you're in a different place? A Sephardi wants to get up and down from Yom. We already said multiple times, a Sephardi should not get up and down from Yom, because Rav Avraham Yosef said it's us for him to do it. But let's say he did anyway.
He's in a community.
So what?
He's for a Sephardi. Let's say, I'm making up the Yemen, I assume.
Yes,
the
correct,
the
for sure. So he has a Hetzer daven for the Yemen. Should he daven in our Havara of Ashkenazis, or should he keep his own? So Shlomo Zalman said that if you become confused and become mixed up in the pronunciation, then better to use only yours. And this is Rav Henkin as well. We said a person mixes and matches, it's going to make him crazy. And Rav Yaakov Emin said the same thing. And that piece, Rav Shlomo Zalman says as follows. That Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that if one is Shliach Tzibor, or getting an aliyah, in a minyan with a different Havara, you should pronounce the words like the host minyan. That's what he said. In fact, when Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was Mesader Kedushim by Sfardim, he would recite the brachos like the Sfardim. Because he felt that's what you have to do in that location. Rav Henkin felt the Shliach Tzibor should match the Havar of the Tzibor, unless it's a Shas HaDechak, where he just can't do it. The Leket HaKemach in Simen Kuf Chav Ches says, in the name of the Chaznish, that an Ashkenazi is not Yotzei with Kriyas HaTorah from a Sephardi. Whew. Everybody says, we don't believe the Chaznish said that. Every single person quotes the Leket HaKemach and says, it can't be the Chazon who said that. It doesn't fit with anything else he said. It can't be. The only person who cites the halacha is the Minchas Yitzchak, but everybody says that it didn't happen. He must have meant as a lichatchila. A lichatchila, you should hear Kriyas HaTorah from someone with your pronunciation, but not that you're not Yosei at all at the end of the day. And however, Rav Avraham Yosef says that by Kriyas HaTorah Mida Oraisa, Parshas Zachar, Parshas Para, ideally you should hear in your minhag of pronunciation. So I think that when Rabbi Rivikoff used to daven with us before he had his own shul, so we used to lane in Hashkama, Parsha Zachar, again, for he would lane it again in order to be mekayim that, right? That's correct, right? Yes. I have minhag hashkan minyan. I have it down.
Yes, yes.
Good. So that's the practice by the Sfardim. The Sfardim, that's the Raman Hilchos Tefillah, who says that a bigger Talmid Chacham should daven for the Yamad. In the next halacha, the Rambam says that someone who cannot differentiate between Aleph and Ayin can't daven for Shiach Tzibur. First halacha, Talmid Chacham should daven for the Yamad. Second one, if you can't differentiate, don't daven. In the third halacha, he says that a Rebbe can tell the Talmud to daven for the Yamad instead. So says the Sfardim, the Kesef Mishnah says, so it says the Sfardim, I don't understand. The first one is about a Rebbe. The second one is about pronunciation. And the last halacha is about the Rebbe with the Talmud. What's the thing about the Ayin and the Aleph doing in the middle? What does that have to do with the two things? So the Kesef Mishnah says, halacha 3 is going back on halacha 1. They're all about a Rebbe, you know, running the show for his minion. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. The Sfardim Yesh argues, and he reads like the Or Sameach, who says, that the Rambam is telling us that the Rebbe can ask a Talmud who has bad pronunciation to daven for the Amud. That's what it means. The Rebbe can tell the Talmud that if he's used to his Talmud's bad pronunciation, he can daven for the Amud. Therefore, nowadays, as long as you're not distracted by the person's pronunciation, then he can daven Shel Sivor. Lamashal, perhaps, I don't want to speak on behalf of the Sfardim Yesh, but if you have somebody who davens Taimani, and nobody here hears that ever, we rarely hear a Taimani pronunciation, we rarely come across it, and that would be distracting people. We would think that's a novelty, and we'd be thinking more about his gimels than the words he's saying in Shemoneh Esrei, then that perhaps the Sfardim Yesh would say he shouldn't daven for the Amud, because that would draw away from one's kavana during davening. There's a bigger discussion about the wife, and she marries, does she have to adopt her husband's pronunciation? That's a machlokas haposkim. The Sefer Rigshele discusses this. The last point about this...
They aren't davening or reading the Torah anyway.
Oh, just about if you have to adopt the husband's minhag, is this considered under the realm of minhag?
But they aren't... Yeah, okay.
And they're davening. That's the issue. The last point is regarding Shem Hashem. There's a famous Rabbeinu Bachya in Parshas Vayera. The Rabbeinu Bachya says that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Hashem's name, should have a kamatz under it. Ado, and then Noi. Not Nai. If it's Noi with a Kamatz, that is Kodesh. That's Hashem's name. If it's with a Patach, says Rabbeinu Bachya, that means my master. That's how he differentiates. Patach means my master. Kamatz mean the name of our Lord. That's the difference between the two. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya explains. And he has a whole thing, Alpi Kabbalah, about the Nekudos and their Kolos. And he says, if you don't show the difference between a Patach and a Kamatz, you're destroying worlds, says Rabbeinu Bachya. The Kamatz is a strong Nekuda. It shows Chashivus. It shows strength. A Patach connotes weakness that needs to be supported. He actually brings a beautiful Raya. He says, you always find a word with a... When you're searching a Kamatz and a Patach, is if a word needs a modifier. You always find a modifier next to the word with a patach. And you don't find a modifier next to the word with a kamatz. And he gives examples to show this. The kamatz is strong, it stands on its own, and therefore the kamatz is attached to Shem Hashem. It's a miyuchad, it's alone, it doesn't need anything. That's his explanation over here. And therefore Shem Hashem must be with a kamatz and not a patach. And the hard seer of Tzvi Pesach Frank cites Rabbeinu Bachya l'halacha. And there's a discussion about Shem Hashem. Are these pronounced properly or not pronounced properly? Rav Yaakov Emden says that although the Sfardim are correct about letters, the Ashkenazim are more correct when it comes to Nekudos, which we pointed out before. And he also says Ashkenazim are more correct in Trap. Rav Yaakov Emden says we have a better Trap than the Sfardim. It's okay, because we think that the Sfardim sound like camel collars and they think we sound like Christians. So in the end, you know, we're making nobody happy. So the Ben Ishchai also bemoans that Sfardim are inexact in their Nekudos. And the Yalkut Yosef has a long presentation to defend their Nekudos at the end of the day. We'll just end with a beautiful tshuva from Rav Yisrael Grossman. Rav Yisrael Grossman is the father of Rav Yitzhak David Grossman, the famed Rav of Migdal HaEmek. So his father was a well-known posek. So he asked his father, in Migdal HaEmek, we have all these Bali tshuva, who are Ashkenazim, and we walk into shul, and it's all speaking like Israelis, but they're all Ashkenazi. So what should we do? So his father replied that you shouldn't make a big deal about the Havara, because it may lead to machlokas, and better to have Shalma Yisrael, and not to cause machlokas and strife over the way people pronounce their words at the end of the day. Okay.